This is Jeremy Beasley. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
Thanks, Bees. We are back with a fresh episode just for you, fellow Hanshin Tigers fan. Welcome to episode 198. Unless you number them properly, which I didn't, this would be episode 200. But this today is Thursday morning in Ishinomiya, Japan. Number 200, except it's labeled 198. I'm the founder of T-Ray. I'm the founder of H10. My parents are the founders of T-Ray. Joining me from Hawaii is Sanjay. Aloha, brada, and nice to see the new digs.
Aloha, brada, T-Ray. Thank you for having me, as always. And congratulations on the preliminary number 200, with the official one to come to follow.
Yes, it will be coming probably in the month of June. So we are just happy to be here. Sanjay, at some point, I don't know when, where, how, but we got to talk about you talking to Rin-chan, Rintaro Sasaki, he of Stanford University.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do that at whatever point in time. You will notice that I'm repping the old U with my baseball cap today, partially because all my other stuff is still packed in boxes.
There you go. Well, maybe during the show, we can kind of get to that as we talk about some various things about the Tigers. Speaking of which, today we are going to give you as our special hot topic, what do we have that they don't have and what do they have that we want? So Sanjay, are you ready? It's time for the rumors and news, buddy.
Let's do this.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
The first bit of news that I have for you is actually that our favorite center fielder, Mr. All NPB, honestly, how has he never been Samurai Japan? Koji Chikamoto started up an organization called Link Up, and it aims to connect some of the remote islands of Japan so that they have a little bit more networking and they have a little bit more resources going their way. So he started that up with a former, I think it was a high school classmate or junior high classmate. As you may know, Sanjay, Chikamoto is from Awaji Island, which is just off of Honshu, of course. The bridge was actually built to get there maybe a couple of years after he was born. But nevertheless, it is still a little bit isolated. And then also, he does his spring workouts, his private workouts before spring training on Amami or Okinoerabu, or I forgot which one. It's one of those islands of southern Kagoshima. But either way, he's an island boy. He's got that special place in his heart for them, and now he's doing something about it. So we'll put a link in the show notes so you can check out the website of what they're doing.
Good for him, man.
Yes, very good for him. We really appreciate, you know, it's always great to hear good news about the Tigers off the field and on the field, because some teams have players that are doing bad stuff off the field. And so we love hearing the good stuff off the field.
No names to be mentioned here.
Nope. No names, no teams, no colors. Okay. So let's get into the newest corner that I started last time in your absence, Sanjay, which we got a great name from Christopher Hood, our former guest. We're calling this one Otanjoubi Omedetaigas.
Woohoo! Way to go, Mr. Hood.
Of the month. And so, yeah, thank you, Chris. Yesterday, Ito celebrated his 28th birthday. That's May the 8th, by the way.
Yeah.
Also, Yuki Sakaeda, fourth string catcher-ish, will turn 26 on the 16th. Ukyo will be turning 21 later this month on the 18th. And Hamachi will be turning 26 on May the 25th. Interestingly, he's been with the team now for, I think this is his, seventh year or eighth year with the team already. And he's just 26. Wow. So, young man. Actually, yeah, and Ukyo as well, turning 21 in this, his third year with the team.
He's still a little kid, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's got room to grow, time to grow. And he has been performing somewhat on the top squad, but his appearances have been on the decline of late. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. As far as the OBs, the OGs, some of them literally are OG. So today, happy birthday, 69th birthday to Kakefu, Mr. Tigers. We also have a...
That was a song.
You know the song. I don't know it. That's awesome. And then turning 76 next week will be Yutaka Enatsu, legendary lefty pitcher. And actually, last night I was at the Tigers Carp game and I saw an old man, probably the same age as Enatsu, wearing a Carp Enatsu jersey because that's where he became a legend as a closer and helped them win their Nippon Ichi in the late 70s, I believe.
Yeah, not the 21 pitches by Enatsu, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, there was an NHK documentary about it. I've still got it recorded on my old DVR and pull it out every now and then. Legendary stuff. And then also at the end of the month, Nomi-san, Aishiteru yo, May the 28th, he'll be turning 45 years old. Hey, I've got some news on that note, on the Aishiteru yo note. Nomi-san, Aishiteru. I talked to Matt Merton just by text last week, and I was like, hey, man, are you planning to come to Japan at all? I'm going to leak the news that yes, indeed, he will be in Japan towards the end of July with his son. And so be on the lookout for any further news about Merton doing baseball clinics, talk shows, charitable events, and so on, because that's the man that he is. And we look forward to having him back in Japan.
Very nice. Looking forward to Maton-san.
You heard it here first and here only so far. That's how good H10 is at what we do.
Yes. Cutting edge.
Right. The last thing in the RNN is that we want to talk about the guys that got called up and sent down. We'll get to this one later in the recaps, but Aoyagi got sent down on April the 27th, and we actually had a 1 week blank in which we did not quote unquote replace him on the roster. And then on May the 4th, Kajiya and Monbetsu got sent down, and Yuki Nishi and Tomida and Ishii got called up.
Yep.
Are you listening? Are you hearing that? I'm hearing it too. It's the import report. So we'll go through these in somewhat a bit of a different order, but let's talk about our position players first. Sheldon Noisy, his first hero podium on April the 24th. So he finally got to stand in front of the Koshien crowd. And I think it was at Koshien. I should know this, but yeah. Good for him. Also, as you just mentioned to me, Sanjay, his family is here visiting.
That's right.
Right. Sorry, I just confirmed it was at Yokohama that he was on the Heroes podium and it was in the rain. Now I remember exactly what was going on there. Yeah. So he hasn't been on the stand at Koshien yet. His counterpart, though, his rival, if you will, the quote unquote mood maker of the team, Johan Mieses, has finally started, has resumed playing on the farm. Started on April the 25th and has been hitting fairly well. My most recent slash line that I have here, it might be a couple days old, is 292, 393, 458. Not too shabby.
Not shabby, even those minors.
So hoping that he is able to come back. And again, we are going to talk about this later, about his chances of making it up to the top squad. But let's talk about a few more guys down on the farm. Our Dominican development players, Betances and Martinez. Betances actually had a couple of really good starts in there, but then most recently on May the 5th, he pitched zero innings and allowed four runs. So he just had a bit of a mess of an outing. But, you know, that's why they're development players. They're learning what works, what doesn't work, how to get that control under control, and so on and so forth. His counterpart, Martinez, Anthony Martinez, made his farm debut on the 24th of April. One inning pitch, two home runs against. Since then has settled down, had a couple of appearances, and allowed no further runs. Most recently, on May the 4th, be with you, two innings pitched, two hits, two strikeouts, no runs against.
That's looking better.
And let's talk about our man who introed the show, Bees, Jeremy Beasley. A couple of outings down there, April the 25th, seven innings pitched, one hit, four walks, three strikeouts, no runs, in 93 pitches. And then more recently on May the 3rd, eight innings pitched, three hits, no runs, 102 total pitches. And so he's gotten up to that one goal that he had of throwing over 100 pitches. He didn't quite get the nine innings, but pretty darn close. And his ERA on the farm, my man, is 0.69.
Woohoo! Bring him up, man.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. And speaking of the farm, let's get to the general news about the farm boys.
Doing a bit.
Lady Buttercup saying, "Farm boy, fetch me that pail," or something like that. Anyways, the Farm Guys, 14, 21, and 4, which is actually a much better record than they had last time we talked. They have gone 7-3 and 2 in the last 12 games. They're still in fifth place, 8.5 out of first place. Who cares? Let's talk about who the hot hitters are, though, down there. Catcher Nakagawa, slashing, and this is in limited play, like 40 plate appearances, but slashing 424, 500, 697.
Woohoo!
And he's only 20 years old. Inoue, the left fielder or right fielder, 344, 439, 533. So an OPS of nearly 1,000.
That'll work.
And Toyota, who is an industrial league draftee, I think he's in his third year, 293, 370, 451, also not too shabby. So we do have a couple of outfielders here doing well. We do have a catcher doing well. What are the bones I have to pick with the top squad team? Catcher and left field. So we got the guys down on the farm. Come on, Okada. I want to see you make some calls. Bring those guys up.
Yeah, why don't you text them after the show?
Yeah, I should actually text him during the show. Anytime, yeah, the better. as for pitchers, we got Oyokawa, who we mentioned last time, is still doing great. 4-1 record with a 2.45 ERA, 35 strikeouts in 29 and a third innings pitched. So he is raring to go, looking for a shot in the rotation. The same, of course, is true of Beasley, as we already mentioned. And then Tomita, who did just recently get the call-up, was sporting a 2.12 ERA on the farm. So pretty good numbers out of him. Once again, man, we got to talk about our boy, Haruto Takahashi. Starting to pitch in games, April 25th, one inning pitch, one run against, two strikeouts. And he said that actually felt better than his shutout inning that he had in his return to the farm mound. And then on May the 4th, the fourth was with him, yes and no. One inning pitch, one hit, one walk, and two strikeouts. Nice. So I'm looking forward to two innings pitched out of him next time. I think he's got it in him.
I think so too.
And I did get a question on the socials. I forget exactly where, but somebody said, "Hey, any news about Aoyagi on the farm?" As we mentioned earlier, he did get farmed after his somewhat of a stinker of an outing in late April. He pitched three innings, allowed no hits, walked one, and struck out four on May the 4th. So there you have it. Just the one outing. I'm assuming, though, if he pitched May the 4th, he'll probably pitch May the 11th or the 10th, in and around there. They'll probably keep him on that once a week schedule.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers aren't too shabby.
No, but as we mentioned, we've got a lot of guys that are looking for that cup of coffee, the cup of joe. You know, Mombetsu got it, and we'll talk about that in the recaps, but I think it's time for somebody else getting that weekend spot, and we shall see who it is. I think it's time for one last talk about the Juku.
Juku. Juku.
Checking in with Fujinami.
Juku.
Checking in with Fujinami.
Man, I don't know. Like, Juku. We could have thrown this into rumors and news, and soon we might even be completely done with this corner about Shintaro Fujinami, because he has been doing absolutely atrociously at AAA for Syracuse, whatever the team name is, the Mets AAA organization. Literally, like, walking and hitting batters and having troubles finding the zone and getting outs and keeping his ERA under 13 or whatever and keeping his whip under 3. Not a good recipe for getting a call-up, let alone, pardon me, playing time at AAA, let alone a call-up. And there was a rumor on Yahoo News that perhaps he will be DFA'd at the end of July or towards the end of July, and perhaps it's time for Hanshin to pick him back up. Any thoughts on that, Sanjay?
Yeah, well, I mean, ideally, I want him to figure it out and be productive again and do some damage in Major League Baseball. But if he's going to fail on that, then, you know, come home to the Tigers. But I'm not sure that Okada has the bandwidth to deal with something like this in what is nominally his final year. I did though that they passed each other, right? Fujinami left as Okada was coming, and vice versa. So I think, and Okada has mentioned in the past that he can get the boy straight.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see what can be done.
Yeah. I wonder how Fujinami feels about that, though. Like, does he want to be coached and spoken about? Not spoken to, because Okada doesn't speak to the players. Does he want to be spoken about by Okada via the media or not?
Good point.
All right, well, that does it for the Rumors and News Deluxe with all those extra mini corners in there. Before we get into recapping the Tigers' action, let's give some shout-outs to the patrons. And they are doing their part, keeping us afloat and keeping us rolling, thanks to what they're doing with the Patreon pledges. So, Rick Silvers, Stephen Green, Zorny, William Schofield, Tom the Swim Dude, Mario, Ian Hadel, Daniel Mariano, Joe out in Wakayama, Jamie Owens in Okayama, Conrad Fursa, Blair Einerson, Jana Rasanen, Carlo McDonald, Christian Jin, Blaine Grimes, Peter Carilla, Michael Lim, Chris Hood, Riley Blue Spider, John Hill, and Jay. This show is made possible thanks to all of you fine folks. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Well, thanks in part to our schedules not being able to match up on our usual Monday, we've got some extra games to talk about in today's recap. And so we're going to breeze through these fairly quick because we got, what, like 14 games or so to talk about. We're going all the way back to April the 23rd. This was a scheduled two-game set against the Bay Stars. So there were no rainouts, although the second of these games could have been. On the Tuesday, it was Murakami against Jackson. And Murakami was his usual self, although he did walk three batters, which I think is a career high. He gave up the first run in the bottom of the second. After that, he was clean for eight innings. And the Tigers tied the game up in the top of the sixth with a Nakano double and a Morishita RBI double, which was helped out with an E7 for the Bay Stars. Kirishiki, Gera, Shimamoto, and Iwazaki all allowed runners, but no runs to score. And as you can guess from having heard that there were four pitchers after Murakami's eight innings, that's right, this game went 12 innings, and the Tigers' bats were awful after the sixth inning. So in the final final six innings of the game, we got one hit and two walks, and that's it. So tie game, 1-1.
We didn't lose, though.
We didn't lose. And when you're on the road and you don't lose, it's a win, in my opinion. You don't like the ties at home, you don't mind the ties on the road.
True.
Really, because, you know, like, for me, watching those games anyways as a fan, right? The other team has four chances to walk the game off if it goes to a tie, right? And if you can hold off those four walk-off chances, that's win.
Yeah.
Right? On the flip side of that, if you're at a home game and you have four chances to walk it off and you don't capitalize, that's kind of a loss.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so the next game, though, things are actually looking a little bit bleak, other than the fact that Ito had a no-hitter going through six innings in the rain, and this game was pretty terrible as far as weather goes. So Noisy got a bases-loaded walk in the top of the fifth to give us one run, but then in the bottom of the seventh, the Bay Stars scored three runs on hits plus an E9, and so the score was 3-1. In the top of the ninth, we're down to our final three outs. Itohara, Chikamoto, Nakano load the bases up. Morishita gets hit by a pitch, so now it's 3-2. Oyama with a hit that scores one, so now it's 3-3. And Noisy with a bases-loaded walk to make it 4-3. And then Kinami brings home a runner with a hit. So 5-3, and we shut him down in the bottom of the ninth. What a sweet victory to come back on Yamasaki, their closer. And the way that we did it by just grinding out, you know, walks and in the singles. Final, yeah.
Top of the ninth, right? Yeah, gotta love it.
Top of the ninth. Yep, indeed. So that was the game, as we said, Noisy was the hero. He got two RBI on two bases loaded walks. I think he also recorded a hit in this one. So anyways, good on him. We take the day off and then we host the Yakult Swallows for a three-game set. And I believe in the last show I predicted that we would win 2 out of 3, and that's exactly what happened. So first, the bad news is that Aoyagi pitched on Friday and didn't do very well. He got hit pretty badly early on, giving up five runs in three innings, although only two of those runs ended up being earned. Nevertheless, you know, I feel like this year the pitchers, I'm not pinning this on the pitchers, but they haven't been able to cover for the fielder's errors as much as they have in last year, especially, right? Because it's not a lot of the errors have been run scoring errors, but they've been errors that have led to runs later in the innings.
So not earned runs as a result on the pitcher. So it doesn't really show on their stats as much.
Correct.
But this is the game after which Aoyagi was farmed, right?
Correct. Yeah. So the relievers gave up 3 more runs in this one, but only one of those was earned. So on the game, we gave up 3 earned runs out of 8. Yikes. That means 5 runs are unearned. Morishita with a home run in the blowout 8-2 loss. We come back the next day, though, and it's Otake against Cy Snead. And Otake gave up a first pitch home run to Shiomi, but he actually sat out the rest of the game. By the way, this was the Patreon viewing party game, so it was a fun... Well, it wasn't fun just yet. It got fun. They scored another run in the top of the second on a Yamada sack fly, and I'm thinking to myself, man, Otake just does not look sharp this year, because really, to this point, he didn't. Well, he straightened out in this game, and I don't think he allowed anything else himself. But Obata with an RBI single in the bottom of the second to make it 2-1. Chikamoto with a 2-run home run in the bottom of the fifth. So we got the lead. And then Oyama with an RBI single in the bottom of the fifth as well. So 4-2 now. Otake loads the bases up in the top of the seventh. And Kirishiki walked home a run. So there's your answer. One more run on Otake's tab. And then Morishita with an RBI single in the bottom of the seventh to pad the lead. And Guerra got out of this one, although he did allow a leadoff home run. So 5-4 final. And the Tigers right the ship and win the game.
Wasn't this the one where Okada came out after his first bad couple of innings and sent the message, I guess. He didn't say directly, but said, have a little fun out there to Otake.
Correct.
And Otake started throwing 60-mile-an-hour breaking balls and stuff and just like, really confusing the other batters after a while.
You're right. And I got to say, so in this game, you're right. He did start to throw those not quite Ephus pitches, but really 60 miles an hour, even less. And I've really had fun watching him and Murakami lately, really doing that right in the middle of that bat and generating a lot of either poor contact or just, the other player is just like, screw this, I'm not going to swing, and then getting called strikes on them. So the fact that they can throw those for strikes is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw a couple last night from Otake, and then Murakami night before, I think he threw an 80-kilometer-an-hour pitch.
Yeah, and the crowd reacts to it too, right? It's kind of cool. Ooh.
They react to 160 and 80.
Yeah, really.
The two extremes. Yeah. All right, so a 5-4 win on Patreon night, and the next night, next day, I should say, it was a day game. Yeah, it's Saiki against Kozawa, who's not one of their main pitchers, but he has been looking good of late. Mind you, the Swallows don't really have main pitchers or great pitchers. So, zing. So, Itohara started third base in this game. So, Sato got the day off, and I think it's because he was quite cool at the dish. Itohara with an RBI single in the bottom of the second. Swallows scored in the top of the fourth, top of the fifth. Both, I think that one was from Santana. But then Chikamoto with a triple in the bottom of the fifth. And that was thanks to Santana's poor fielding. And Nakano with the sack fly to score him. And Nakano Morishita with singles in the bottom of the seventh with 2 outs. And Oyama with a Texas leaguer that was played poorly by. You guessed it. This episode, this show, this game was brought to you by Santana, right? Poorly played by Santana. And so that plated 2 runs, gave us the lead. Javi with the hold and Suguru with the save.
Yay.
So we go 2-1 at home against the Swallows, and then we head to the road to play 3 against the Carp, except it ended up being 2 against the Carp. The Monday game, national holiday, called at 2:30 p.m., even though it was a 6 p.m. start, and Okada suspects that it's because the day before, Hiroshima was in Tokyo playing a 12-inning marathon game, and that it was easier for them to call the game early. I don't know.
Could be. Could very well be.
Yes. So it ends up being a shortened 2-game series, and the Tigers keep the good times rolling. In Hiroshima, we took the first one 7-1. And this was Murakami giving up a first pitch home run to Akiyama, Shogo Akiyama. And that was it. The rest of the way, he was good because that was the only run the Carp got all game. But two times in this set, a first pitch home run to the other team. So we got to figure out what we're doing wrong there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Start off strong, man.
Yes. Sakamoto with an RBI single in the top of the second. It was his first RBI of the year. He also helped cash in a run on a bases loaded double play in the top of the fourth. He hit a sac fly in the top of the sixth, and that was questionable because their right fielder caught a foul ball that turned out to be a sac fly. So Okada was grinning from ear to ear after that. Top of the seventh, Noisy with an RBI single. That was his first RBI hit of the year, not counting his home run. Mm-hmm. Sato with an RBI ground out to first. Sakamoto with an RBI single. And in the top of the ninth, Kinami with an RBI ground out to second. So we got all these weird RBIs in this one, right? Like we got the we got the run scored on the grounded, the DP, sac fly, ground out to first, ground out to second, but they all count, right? So 7-1 when the dust clears.
And a complete game to Murakami.
Yes. So his ERA goes from 108 to 106. And we're going to see that the following week, it drops even further. Again, no thanks to the defense. So we win 7-1 the next day. We start May with the sister kisser. It's a 2-2 tie in Hiroshima. But again, these ties on the road, I don't mind them so much. So Oyama with the RBI single in the top of the first, but he was thrown out on the bases. Kinami with an RBI single in the top of the second, with Sato being thrown out on the bases. I think he was picked off at second. Ito struggled. He allowed one unearned run in five innings pitched, through 107 pitches in those five innings. So he really was not his usual economical self.
Nope.
They scored their first run on an E6, and then Kajiya walked the first two batters in the bottom of the seventh that led to the tying run. After that, it was straight zeros. Shimamoto, Kirishiki, Gera, Iwazaki, and Hamachi to close down this game for the Tigers. Again, a 2-2 win for us.
Good to see Hamachi out there.
Yes, indeed. I was a little bit nervous with him pitching the 12th, but he did a great job. So, take a day off, and we go to Tokyo Dome to face the Kyojin Giants. Actually, they are in second place. They were when this started. They tied us, or no, they came very close to moving into first place, but they didn't, and they're still in second place. So, Monbetsu makes his first start of 2024, and it was not a good one. In the first inning, he gave up four runs. He got the first two outs, and then he gave up five hits, and I think he walked someone as well in there. So four runs against. Oyama backed him up with a solo home run in the top of the second. But then with two outs in the bottom of the second from Monbetsu, should have been out number three, but an E7. It was a fly ball sent Sheldon's way, and he missed it. So two more runs scored in that inning on an Okamoto home run that came after that. Monbetsu, I think, went one more inning after that. Nakano hit a home run in this one. Itohara with an RBI double in the top of the sixth. Oyama with another home run in the top of the eighth, another solo job. And an E1 in the bottom of the eighth led to two more Giants runs. So you've heard this several times in this recap, have you not? Like the errors that lead to runs. Errors that lead to runs. Yeah. Morishita with an RBI single in the top of the ninth, and we actually had a decent chance after that RBI single. Taisei, their closer, left the game hurt. They're saying it could be pretty serious on that end, so that was interesting. With a four-run lead, they brought him in, and it kind of bit them in the butt, and I'm fine with that. But Oyama had a chance to actually give us the lead in his last at-bat. I think it was bases loaded with two outs in the top of the ninth. And he was unable to get the job done. So even though he hit two home runs, he was disappointed in himself after the game was over.
Right. But I did hear a lot of praise from the pundits that even though the Giants looked like they were, you know, this was a can't-lose game for them, and they threw everything in the kitchen sink at the Tigers, Okada really made it a game. That despite the fact that his prized rookie, Monbetsu, didn't have the kind of start that he had hoped he would, the team never gave up. They were grinding. They were scoring runs as the game wore on, and they get closer and closer And to your point, you know, they could have won the game in the ninth inning, but they didn't.
Yep.
So it was a good game. It was a good game for the Dento no Issen, the tradition game between the two arch rivals.
Yeah, it was. I mean, as much as it's hard to call this a good loss, especially against the Giants, because you don't want any losses, but it wasn't bad because the team put up a fight. They didn't just go down whimpering, you know, being down 6-1 early in the game, right? They still tried to make something of it, and they came pretty darn close. So the next day, it's Star Wars Day, but not for our Tigers. The fourth was not with them, except for with Nishi, who, as we said, got the call up, making his first start in a couple of weeks and threw 7 shutout innings against the Giants. Very impressive stuff. He was going up against Sugano, who also did almost as well as Nishi. Noisy with an RBI single in the top of the fourth. Then Iwazaki gave up 2 hits, including an RBI single to Maru in the bottom of the eighth. I think that was his first run against of the year. And then in the bottom of the 10th, Urishihara walked a batter, and then we switched to Shimamoto, which I could pick on Okada for this because they switched to a left-handed pitcher. And of all pitchers, Shimamoto, when Maru was up at the dish, Maru is better against lefty pitchers than against righty pitchers, even though he's a lefty bat. He was also, he's also very good against Shimamoto. And he kept that rally going. And maybe we could have stuck with Urushihara to try to get one out or even a double play out of Maru.
That's possibly, that's a fair assessment, actually.
But that's, so the that's one of those in retrospect type things.
Yeah. But the forces with all the old guys, the unlikely guys, Sugano and Nishi on the fourth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess maybe they're more likely to go visit Yoda than anybody.
Yeah, Jedi tricks.
Yeah. Okay, so the very next day, it's Children's Day. And as you know, Sanjay, the team has a 7-game win streak on Children's Day, heading back to the year 2015. I think that was the last time they lost. So it's Hamachi. Pardon me, Saiki against Takahashi, Rei Takahashi, who's having himself a great year, the submarine righty that the Giants picked up from the Hawks. Well, Chikamoto hit a 2-run home run in the top of the third, and then Sato with an RBI single in that same inning. Bottom of the fifth, they executed a squeeze play, and they got an RBI double. So now I think it is 3-2. Oyama with a double, and Ukyo with an RBI single in the top of the eighth. And then Javi and Suguru, Javizaki, needed just 17 pitches to get the final 6 outs of the game. So
Javizaki, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be their new nickname, at least on our show. So, 4-2 win. It's a good way to end the week. You know, Sunday victories are always sweeter because then you can head into the work week feeling good about the team. And again, the win streak on Children's Day extends to 8.
Yay. And I said, let's make every day Children's Day, to which you didn't quite agree 100%.
Because I have children. And yeah, no, love my kids. Okay, let's move on, though. We were supposed to play against the Carp on the Monday. Okay, so the national holiday of Children's Day then was quote unquote celebrated on Monday, right? But for 2 straight Mondays, we get a rainout. So it was supposed to be Otake against Hatch. And I was at the game with CNN. They're filming a feature travel show about Kansai Osaka, and they said, hey, how can we do this without talking about the Tigers? So they'd been in touch with me for about a month or more now, and we were super excited about filming that. We did some filming outside of the stadium. We got there like 2:30, and by 4 o'clock, they said, hey, it's going to be terrible weather this evening. We're probably not going to get the game in, so let's just call it. And so that's what they did.
Oh, so they called it before the game was called?
Yep. 4 p.m.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a bummer because that sounds like such an exciting thing for you to be doing.
Yeah. And I mean, like, selfishly, I wouldn't have minded going in, getting rained on while being filmed by CNN. And then if they could experience some of the, you know, the fan atmosphere and then have the game called, that would have been okay with me.
Yeah. That would have been a win.
Yes. Yes. Well, anyways, let's not dwell too much on that. Let's talk about our next game action, which was May the 7th, of course, hosting the Carp at Koshien. It's Murakami against Tokoda. And you want to hear some more errors leading to runs. Top of the first,
not really,
and top
but
of the fifth.
Ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Top of the first, top of the fourth, both errors going to number 51, Nakano, both leading to runs. Nakano did get hits later in those games, so he kind of compensated, but not enough. Murakami, 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts, no earned runs. So now his ERA is down to like 0.88 or something like that. Noisy hit into 2 double plays in this game, which was really hard to watch. And yeah, not a great game. 2-0 loss.
Yeah. Although Nakano did have a nice play in there as well between the errors, but it was unlike him. It was the most errors that he's had in a game since he's been converted to a second baseman.
Right.
And he took it very seriously, said he needed to work out harder.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I hope he does. And I hope he gets back to being his usual stellar self.
Yep.
You know, it's easier to forgive stuff like that when a player performs at the high level that Nakano does, because you know that he's not going to do that 2 games in a row. You also know he's not going to just deteriorate from here and become a poor second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So last night, our recaps end with yesterday's game, which was Otake against Osera. And they hit a solo home run in the top of the third. And yeah, Otake seems to have this tendency. I don't know if it's because he misses his spots or because guys are guessing right, but he's given up the long ball quite a bit this year.
Yes, he has. Yeah. Well, not he doesn't have overpowering stuff, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But then neither does Ito and neither do other guys. But yeah. Okay, so we tie it up with a Chikamoto single, stolen base, and then Nakano RBI single in the bottom of third. So they didn't have their lead for very long. Otake went 6 innings, and then Kirishiki was clean. Gera on this day was not. He gave up a walk after 1 out. It was a 1 out walk, and then there was a sack bunt, and then a couple hits, both of them bringing runs in. And the Tigers only got 4 hits all night, so a 3-1 loss. Kind of a bummer of a way to end our recaps. The team is still in first place, but just hanging on by half a game to the Giants.
Yeah, but I guess the comment from Okada was that when you're 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters have an 0 for day, then it's tough to win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the hits were Chikamoto 1, Nakano 1, and Sakamoto with an uncharacteristic multi-hit game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just weren't functioning as a unit. I will say, I don't think Noisy should be our number 3 hitter anymore. He is Mr. DP.
Yeah, I think he slotted in better at 6 in the 6th hole anyway.
Yeah. I like Morishita in that number 3 spot, or even Sato, because Sato doesn't hit into the double plays and you have a chance to really make the inning something special if he does get that extra base hit.
If he happens to run into a fastball.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right, well, we are in a different month than we were in the last episode, so it is time for us to crown our players of the month.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
First time this year doing so, but yeah, the team right now is sitting at 15. Pardon me, we are, what are we, 15, 11, and 4? Does that sound right?
Sounds right.
Something close to that. The last time I checked, okay, so these numbers are a little bit older, but a .234 batting average for the team, 15 home runs. I think that's up a little bit now. 90 runs scored, 7 stolen bases. That's up to 10 now, but not. Oh, no, sorry. In the month of, okay, we're looking March at the record at the end of April. Yeah, 15-9-3 with a .234 average, 15 home runs, 90 runs scored, 7 stolen bases. So who's your hitter of the month?
You want to go first?
Well, I think we got the same guy, right? Morishita.
Yeah, we do.
Morishita with 10 extra base hits on the month, 5 doubles and 5 home runs, 13 runs scored, 16 RBI. And the thing that I really liked about him was that 13-19 K, walk to strikeout ratio, which is a huge improvement for him. And a 781 OPS is not outstanding, but the way that our team has been hitting or hit in that first month, that's actually not too bad.
Well, and the thing is that he's so clutch, right? I mean, what was his batting average in those 2 months? I should have it down, but I don't. But it's not high enough to justify a 781 OPS.
Right.
And yet he did it. And he has all these, he's like third in the league in RBIs or something.
Yeah.
He's productive as all heck.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why you want him higher up in the order than sixth, if you ask me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our pitching. And as a team for the month of April, well, this includes the three March games, of course, a 2.09 ERA, starting pitchers with a 2.56, relievers with a 1.13 ERA. On the month. That's despicable.
Very nice. Yeah.
9 home runs against. And let's remember our guys hit 15. So we're a +6 in the home run department. 180 strikeouts, 64 walks, and 57 earned runs. So who you got? You can go first for pitcher.
Okay. So despite the fact that he has one loss, I picked Murakami, our MVP. He's pitched the most innings on the team at that point, at the end of that month. At the end of April, and ties to the most wins with 2. He was 2-1. The L was ugly, but so be it. 1.06 ERA is very respectable, and he's still the guy that I want up there to pitch in an important game.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I could get behind you 100% on that. That first start that he had me a bit worried because he gave up. Again, some of his runs were unearned. But I think he gave up like 6 runs or something like that. And I think 3 of them were earned. So, but still, he has gone deep almost every game that he's pitched as well. He's gone 7 or 8 and even 9 innings once. So I love what he's doing. But I'm going to go to the bullpen because, as I said, we had the sparkling 1.13 ERA. And who else can we go to but our anchor, Zaki, right? Iwazaki was perfect. 12 games pitch, 12 mounds, 1 win, 6 holds, 4 saves, a 1.00 whip, 10 strikeouts, and a batting average against of 2.05.
You don't have it here. What was his ERA?
0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which is why I said perfect 12 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing about Iwazaki is, obviously, if your ERA is 0, you're not giving up home runs, but he just doesn't tend to give up extra base hits. Like when guys get hits against him, it tends to be singles.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that about him as well.
He just looks so unhittable and so unflappable.
Yep, exactly. All right, man. Let us talk a little bit about the old manager.
Are
And I hate to do this because I sound like a broken record, and I've got a bone to pick just with the fact that he has left Umino in games way too much. Let's go back to that May the 3rd game in which Mombetsu was the starter. And, you know, a lot of people that I kind of looked at on X were saying, oh, everybody's so quick to blame Umino for calling a poor game, but why can't we just admit that maybe Mombetsu didn't have a great start? And maybe they're right. But Umino was terrible at the plate, and Umino came up a couple of times in that game with great chances. I think there was once it was 2 outs and the bases loaded. It might have been the 5th or 6th inning, right? I think it was 6th inning. So we got this golden opportunity to cash in some runs, and we still have Sakamoto on the bench. So why? It was the 6th and 8th inning twice. Umino came up with great chances and blew both. He looks terrible at the plate. Atrocious. So why not use a pinch hitter in that situation and try to turn this game around?
And I'll give you the answer on that one. It's a boring answer. It's the old super conservative risk averse decision. If you play your last catcher and he gets hurt, then you're screwed. So you always leave a catcher on the bench until the end.
Yeah, but we still got Nagasaka on the bench. He sits there and does nothing, and I'm fine with that. But he's still like,
oh,
that final.
Oh, Nagasaka's on the bench. My bad.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, we love Okada, so we're not saying, you know, you're an idiot, Okada. We're just saying, come on, Okada. Seriously. All right, let's hit up the hot topic.
Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hunching Tigers English News. Hot topic.
Today we're going to tell you, using stats and using our own observations, what we have that other teams don't, and what they have that we have that we need. And so we're going to start, of course, with the positive side of things. What do the Hanshin Tigers have that other teams look at us with complete envy? And I'm going to start with the obvious one, Sanjay. I'll let you take over after that. But we've got a rotation with six studs. I mean, most of our six starters, in fact, maybe even all of them, could make the front half of almost any other team's rotation.
They don't call us Toshu Okoku for nothing.
That's right.
Dynasty of pitchers.
Yep, exactly. I mean, so let's go through our starting six pitchers. Okay, so Aoyagi has had a little bit of a stumble, right? But then we've got Otake and Saiki and Murakami and Nishi and Ito. And then we've mentioned other names like Beasley on the farm, like Oyakawa on the farm, like Tomita on the farm. Junya Nishi is going to turn the corner as well pretty soon. There's all sorts of guys, but let's just look at the top squad, their results so far. So the quality starts from our pitchers is happening roughly two-thirds of the games. A 65.6% quality start rate against a league average of 55.8.
That's this pretty
include,
good.
This doesn't include yesterday, so it went up because Otake went 6-1, right?
Oh, wow.
High quality start we didn't get yesterday, but as of the day before, the HQS rate, which is seven innings or more pitched and two or fewer earned runs against. I think that's the HQS definition.
Okay.
Get this though, 43.8%. Like almost every other game, we're getting that from our starters.
Nice.
And the league average is 29.5. So we're crushing.
Yeah, we're doing like 15% better than the league average.
Yep. And then our walks per nine as a pitching staff is 2.12. And our home runs per nine as a pitching staff is 0.31.
Those are like fantastic numbers. They're like video game numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I can't imagine any other team looking at Hanshin's pitching staff and not getting at least a little bit jealous. There are good, you know, staffs out there, like the Giants are having a good year, the Carp are having a good year, but they still got nothing on the Hanshin Tigers.
Totally agree, man.
What else do you think? What else do you see that we have that they don't?
Well, running a little bit contrary to what we were complaining about a little while ago, but we do, in fact, have two catchers who are very competent at leading the staff. Either of them could be a starter on any other team.
Yeah, absolutely think these guys are doing an outstanding job. And again, I think the way that Okada has matched up pitchers with catchers, catchers with pitchers, to make sure they're getting the best out of them and also they're able to do things to compensate for the pitchers. So like Umeno's out there for any pitcher, typically anyways, the pitchers that might be a little bit more, not on the wild side so much, but definitely like throwing more stuff in the dirt. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best blockers in the game still at age 33.
Yep, agreed.
Actually, he has started throwing out base runners a lot better as well. Like his rate was quite low at the start of the year, but he's been better at that too. And then getting back to that Sakamoto, you know, he tends to be in there with the finesse pitchers. He calls the games a little bit better as far as just being a little bit less predictable with the types of pitches, the locations of pitches. And then he's also just such a great framer.
And he's actually started hitting the ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's up, his batting average is up to a whopping 233, which is, you know, those are dreamlike numbers compared to what they were even 3 weeks ago. So, exactly. Yeah, if he's hitting the ball, then no complaints there. The other thing I would say that our team has got is two capable closers. And, you know, of course, Guerra had a bit of a rough one last night, but what closer doesn't? So Guerra is having a great year. Zaki's having a great year. Those guys in the eighth and ninth make us probably the best. We have the best back end 1-2 punch of any team in the league. Like, you know, Raidel Martinez for the Dragons is a great closer. Kuribayashi's having a great year for the Carp. Taisei was great until he got hurt. So other teams do have studs for the ninth inning. Well, except the Swallows. They got no one. but the Tigers have that 1-2 punch that I don't think any other team really has right now. I mean, there are some other good setup guys, but not quite like our 1-2.
Yeah, and the thing I like about what Okada has been doing is the flip-flop in Havizaki, depending on the situation, which doesn't bode well for either one in terms of winning the outright saves record or crown. But
yeah,
overall, I think it's yielding better results in the win-loss column.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what it comes down to in the end. We do care about individual titles, but not if it comes at the expense of the big Arempa.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Anything else that you see that the Tigers have that other teams kind of look at and go, man, I wish we had that?
Well, the best fans in the world, man.
I was actually going to add that. It's not in the notes, and I agree with that. And actually, so having gone to last night's game, and I took a crowd of university students from University of South Carolina. They were here on a university trip learning about Japanese culture and particularly sports management. So we went to Koshien, and they were blown away by the crowd atmosphere at a 3-1 loss.
Nice.
Yeah. No, and I agree. Like, we have the biggest stadium as far as capacity, except maybe Tokyo Dome, but we also have the best attendance of any team in Japan. So, yes, definitely. I would say that a lot of players from other teams and even fans of other teams probably look at what we have here at Koshien, and they can't help but be a little bit jealous.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. And so on that note, for anyone out there listening that might be wondering, hey, I'm going to be coming to Japan in June or July or September or whatever, and I'm looking to get tickets, and where can I get tickets? And the answer that I have for you this year is you don't. There's nowhere. I mean, yeah, you can get them secondhand, but the games are almost all sold out. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, if you try to go through the official site, you're probably not going to find tickets.
Yeah, I tried. I know.
Yeah, that's the way the cookie crumbles. So the only thing that you can do, and I'm going to give you this hint, but no thousand person audience. I don't want everybody getting in on this info, but so this past Monday, the Tigers and Carp game was rained out, right? So when the makeup game is announced as probably September the 14th, kind of nice date in team history, jump on that if you can. If you're coming to Japan in September, aim for September 14th, because those tickets right now, there are zero tickets sold to that game. And so if you find out when the game tickets go on sale, you jump on that right away and you'll get your tickets. I'm hoping to do the same.
And so, you might see the Arempa Are again.
You never know. Yeah. Okay, let's flip this over on its head. We don't really like talking about the negative side, the downside of the Tigers, but there are some things that the team needs to address. As we said, the team is, what, 3 games above 500 and half a game up on the Giants, and it's not going to be a runaway for the Central League crown unless the team straightens certain things out. Now, one of the things is, I don't think that our team is hitting nearly to their potential. Like, Chikamoto's pretty close to his standard. Nakano is pretty close to his standard. Our cleanup has been pretty brutal. And if you look at the numbers of our cleanup hitters compared to other teams, like, okay, the number 4 hitter, right? Oyama had the 2 home run game, and outside of that, he has 1 home run all season, right? In the other 32 games, he's got 1 home run. And you look at like Okamoto, Murakami, and some of these other big boys, even Maki, right? They're having pretty good seasons so far. So we need to straighten that out to make ourselves a stronger team. That, I think, is the number one issue.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the quote that Okada had, the 3, 4, 5, 6 hitters need to get it together.
Yes. And speaking of which, like I was mentioning to you kind of off the air and all that stuff, but even a little bit earlier in the show, we got some guys down on the farm that could take that left field position and maybe run with it. We've already seen what Sheldon has got to offer. We've already seen what Ukyo has got to offer. And I think he could still get hot and really produce, but he's not getting the regular playing time because Okada doesn't trust him against lefty pitching.
Yeah.
So I say call up Inoue, give him a shot. I'd love to see it.
I think so. He's hitting well on the farm.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. And he gives us that other power bat that we might need, right? Okay. The other thing that the Tigers lack is the ability to avoid hitting into double plays. Like, it's a roundabout way to saying we lead the league right now in double plays. It is not even close, and it's terrible. Sheldon has got 6, 3 in the past 2 games, by the way. Kinami's got 5. Oyama's got 4. So those are 15 snuff chances right there. Nakano and Morishita each have 3 as well. So that's 21. And then there are a few others as well from some of the other members. And so just too much of that. We got to get that ball in the air or whatever. I just think that's a problem. I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it.
It is. And it's such a rally killer. I mean, it's the pitcher's best friend, right? So yep. The flip side of that is that it just kills your momentum.
Yes. Let's pick a little bit on the catchers. Dare we do this? As we said, Sakamoto has gotten his average up to 233, I believe. Still just, I think, 2-3 RBI on the year, and they all came in that one game. Mm-hmm. He is slashing, though, like 233, 254, 233 or whatever. Like, he doesn't have any extra base hits. Umeno is slashing 120, 241, 140. So his OPS is 381.
Yeah, he's not batting his weight.
Not going to cut it. I listed some catchers that I think are doing better than our catchers, but actually Oshiro of the Giants got farmed, although he is a good hitting catcher. Sakakura is a good hitting catcher, but he's not doing well this year. Yamamoto of the Bay Stars is having himself a good year. And then Uchiyama of the Swallows actually has not played on the top squad yet this year. But other teams do have good catchers that can hit the ball. I feel like we don't. But then there's the question, Sanjay, of like earlier what we said, you know, our catchers are doing an outstanding job of calling the game, of playing defense. And so there has to maybe be a bit of a trade-off. Like, we're not going to get Mike Piazza in his prime on our team out of nowhere, or Joe Mauer, or, you know, anyone like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think we, you know, Okada has been gone on record at the beginning saying that he's not looking for batting from catcher, shortstop, or second base.
Yeah, or pitcher. So basically the rest of the other 5 of you, you better bat 500. Jeez. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it would be nice to call up Nakagawa or even Sakaeda and give them that experience. And I've talked about this to no end, so I'm not going to go off too long on this. But I feel especially if Sakamoto gets hurt this year, we're screwed, because Umeno is not getting it done at the plate at all.
Well, we'll get initiation by fire to Nakagawa or Sakaeda then.
Yeah, it may be that may be the case. I would hate for that to happen with the pennant on the line in September, though. So,
yeah.
Another thing that I'm seeing, which is troubling, is that, you know, we were known, especially under Yano, but even last year with Okada, we were one of the best running teams in the league. We've had a lot of guys getting called out on the base paths, whether it's caught stealings, which has happened several times, guys that have jumped the gun and been picked off. That's happened several times. Oyama, again, he tried stealing or tried taking second base, advancing on one of his hits, ended up being called out. So that's a problem. And then we have only 10 stolen bases on the year, which is 5th in the Central League, 5th out of 6 teams. And out of those 10, Chikamoto has 6. And so the rest of the team, the pinch runners slash Nakano, have only amounted to 4, not even, because Noisy, I think, has one of those 4.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like us.
No. So I think we need to pick that up because other teams are starting to get her done.
Yeah, I agree.
That said, the Carp, I think, have more stolen bases than us, but their stolen base percentage is like under 40.
So, yeah, they're just going at on anything.
Yeah. They're playing like a farm team in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I have to say about our team that we need to improve, the errors have gone up. We are now tied for tops in the league with 20. And I think that's kind of, I don't want to say where we belong, but that's basically where we've been for the last like almost decade. So I'm not too disturbed by the fact that we are near the top. I mean, it'd be nice to not be, but the fact that on those 20 errors, we've got 19 unearned runs, which is top in the league. The average for unearned runs in the Central is 9 on 14 errors. So
we're double.
Yeah, double the amount of runs. So in other words, like 6 extra errors have resulted in 10 extra runs from the league average.
That's not good.
So the question then is, is this just bad luck that's going to even out? Is it just BABIP numbers and, you know what I mean? Like, it's all going to straighten itself out and maybe, you know, we'll go on a 2 month or a 1 month stretch where we don't allow any unearned runs? Or do you think this is something that will continue?
No, I'm hoping that we will revert to the mean and things will look better from here on out.
Because last year, it seems to me like, you know, we did have a lot of errors, but the pitching staff and then even the defense after that managed to cover up for it. And a lot of those errors ended up kind of going unnoticed.
Yeah, they weren't as consequential, at least on the scoreboard.
Yeah. So there you have it. This is our team at present, having played almost one fourth of the season. What are your thoughts? What does the team need to do better to make sure that we get the Arempa? What are some things that they need to keep doing? Or what are some ways that we can boast no matter what the team is doing? Give us your thoughts. Send us some messages in any way that you can. You know how to reach us by now if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time. Let's get into some predictions, Sanjay.
Let's do it.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen?
So I'm hoping that we can do another episode in a week and a half just to compensate for the fact that we waited so long before this one was recorded. So I've only got three teams set in the schedule for now. But we have five more series until the Interleague begins. So we go into Yokohama tomorrow, play three against them. And then we've got three against the Dragons on the road. One of those is going to be a countryside game. Then we host the Swallows for three. Back on the road against the Carp for three, and then we host the Giants, and after that, it's interleague time. But, well, what the heck? Why don't we just, like, talk about what we think the team's going to do between now and interleague as far as record goes? Three games against each team, 15 games scheduled. Who knows if there's going to be rainouts and ties, but let's assume 15 games that are decided by win or loss. How are our Tigers going to do?
I'm going to say that in a 15-game stretch from here until then, we're going 8-5-2.
Throwing in some more ties, hey? So we'll have six by the time the interleague starts. Interesting. I'm going to actually go, sorry to say, a little bit poorer than you, and I'm going to go with 8-7. So we'll see, but we're facing the front end of the Bay Stars rotation, which is actually pretty good. So we're probably going to have to face Azuma for the first time all year. We're going against that front end of the Giants rotation, which we haven't fared well against. And then if we go against that same back end of the Carp rotation that we scored one run in two games against this past week, that doesn't bode so well either. So I just kind of have a feeling it might be a little bit of a rough one. And then, of course, you know, we're playing in Nagoya for a couple of games. That's never a good thing. So I'm going to say 8-7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we have a reasonable cushion before Interleague starts, because we tend not to do so well in those.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like this year the other teams are going to have struggles as well, so it won't be so crucial for us. We'll talk about that in the next episode, because that's going to be our hot topic for the next one. We will preview the PL teams for all of y'all. Well, Sanjay, I think it's time to land this plane. So while everybody out there is waiting for the next episode, why don't you stay up to date with the Tigers on H10. The website is putting up these scorecards for every game, like within each series. We got Patreon, we got the Substack, the website, which I just mentioned, X, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. All those details are in the show notes. And a special thanks to Infraction for the theme music and Show for mixing the pod for us. Thank you for joining, Sanjay.
Thanks for having me, as always.
We'll join you again next time on H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
頑張れ、アレンパイアです。